Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servo-Didio, and I am your host. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Remember, Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. Please also check out my book, Finding Your Peace Within the Chaos, on Amazon or at www.ccbpublishing.com/aservodidio.html. Well, tonight I have such an incredible guest. I have author William Bill Vincoli, born 11/28/1932 in Portchester, New York. He was in the U.S. Navy for 4 years. On September 6, 1953, he married Angela Louise Porchi in Corpus Christi Church. He has 4 children. He's also vice president of Greenwich Federal Savings and Loans for 31 years. Bill says, "My wife Angela and I were two ordinary people who fell in love, very young, married, and continued on with our life, just as our parents had done before us. All the trials and tribulations of raising 4 wonderful children, fighting through the maze of life with ill health, economics, and all the hurdles that are encountered trying to achieve a better life for our family. This, I believe, is what most of us strive for. Our journey with cancer and the fight that ensued was one we never expected nor would have ever encouraged. We entered the battle with the hope of winning, vowing never to give up the fight." Bill, welcome to Insight into Healing. It's such an honor and my pleasure to have you on the show this evening.
Well, thank you, Alexis. It's an honor for me to be here.
Thank you, yes. Well, I first met you back in December at the Portchester Rye book signing event, which was so incredible. And when I walked past your table and saw your book and heard your story, I just knew that you had to be on Insight into Healing. Please tell us how you got started.
Well, you know, Angela and I were together for 56 years, never apart for more than 2 weeks. And when she became ill, I was devastated, as I know she was. And I don't know, I never realized that poetry was in my soul, and these poems started coming out, and I was expressing my feelings in a way that I could tell the world that they should love one another and they should appreciate one another, because you never know when you're going to be apart.
Yes. And I think that's such a powerful message. You know, so many times we hear life is short, be present, you know, in the present time, but it is so true and so important that we really don't take for granted our life and our loved ones, the people that we encounter on a daily basis.
Well, I truly believe that if you have a good relationship and you respect one another and love one another, when the time comes for that final parting, it makes it a little bit easier. Not 100% easier, but it makes it easier to go on if you have to.
Yes, yes. And I think so many times, you know, we're not prepared really to lose a loved one. We know it's inevitable and it happens. But when there's an illness like cancer, it becomes kind of shocking that it happens so quickly. But I think it's also another layer to process.
Well, when we learned, we went to the emergency room and I was completely shocked when a nurse said to my wife, "Have you ever had cancer?" I mean, we never dreamed that word would hit us like it did. And from there on, her cancer progressed, and eventually she was gone.
Yeah. What type of cancer did she have?
She had pancreatic cancer, and it was in the bile duct. And, you know, we were in Florida, and I wanted to go to Cancer Centers of America, but the nearest good hospital was the Mayo Clinic, and we went there, and they performed what they an operation, and they took out I don't know how many parts of her body, and it gave her 2.5 years more of life, but it was not quality of life. She would have gone quicker, but with all the treatments and the operation and everything, it kept her around for a long time, but she wanted every minute that she could have.
Yes, yes. And I think that's also another important factor, too, is going through the procedures, going through the care, going, you know, also as being a loved one, as being a caretaker, is also another part of layer of processing and managing through this cancer. It's really different layer to it.
Well, that part of it was a privilege for me. But the biggest thing I noticed, and I think Angela noticed, was when we went to her appointments, all the different people that had cancer, the young ones, the old ones, all the different emotions in that room. Some were hopeful, some had no hope, some were happy, some were just so hard to look at. And yet, you know, this was part of the journey.
Yes. I know my father had passed, it'll be 6 years this March, of lung cancer, and I remember, you know, taking care of him and going to the appointments and doing all those things, and it was hard. And I think it's also, you know, he had such a will to live. He had so wanted, you know, he lasted 4.5 years, which usually isn't what you're supposed to usually go within the first couple of months. So it was incredible, but I think it really teaches us a lesson, the ones that are here, that life is such a gift and such a blessing.
Well, that's what you just said is a huge part of it, that we learn that our loved ones have so much courage that we never expected. And I would never go through what my wife went through. She let them do everything and anything to her because she wanted to live so badly. And I respected her for that.
Yes. And it's such a powerful journey. And your book, I Take the Angela, how did you know you were going to write it? Did it just come to you overnight? Was it something you planned? How did that happen for you?
No, it happened over the years in bits and pieces. My love for my family, my love for my children, different little poems that I had collected, you know, during our marriage. But then when she became ill, it just became an outpouring of words and themes that I never even knew were inside of me. And I made up my mind that no matter what I did in my life, I had to get this book out there because I want people to know how strong and how important love is.
Yes. And I think writing a book, as I found writing my own book too, is so therapeutic, but it's so powerful. There's something about writing and putting it out there really solidifies. Even I always encourage journaling, but it really solidifies putting it down on paper for others to read and to also give back to others and hopefully reach someone and be able to heal them or give them hope.
Exactly. You just said it right there. And that's what is hope, to give people hope. Even if the hope is not a real hope, you have to have that hope ahead of you so that it'll keep you going. And if it comes out fine, bless us all, but if it doesn't come out, we have to accept it. And that's the part that hurts, is trying to accept it.
Yes. I think going through that and the grieving process, as I've said so many times on my show, for each person it is so different. And there's no time limit. There's no certain order of the stages of grief. And I think it's for each person their own personal journey that unfortunately we all have to go through at some point in life.
Well, Alexa, you know what I think? I found this, and this is my own personal opinion, that if you want to sit down and not make a move, you're doomed. But you know what? You have to force yourself to try different things. A big part of my help was a bereavement group with a church here in Connecticut. And I was amazed to find that in that group there were people who had lost their loved ones 7 years ago, 10 years ago, and they were still grieving. And it just amazed me because it made me say, gee, you know, maybe there's nothing wrong with you. You know, maybe you are normal. Look at these people, how they're carrying on their love and their grief. But you could see that they were getting better.
Yes. And I think so many people don't understand that grieving does happen. And you know, it's one day you'll be okay, and then the next day it'll really be a hard, tough day for you. But that is all part of the grieving process. It's not about being weak or something's wrong with me. Because so many times I have, when I see clients in my private practice, they'll say, I was doing so well, and then a picture or a song came on, and I fell apart. What's wrong with me? Why am I like this? And that's human. That's being normal. I think that's what happens when we lose someone. Or even if we're reminded of someone that we've loved in our life that could still be alive, it's about being human and having compassion and having empathy.
Well, you know, Alexis, I'll tell you this. Losing someone that's very dear to you is a knockout punch. And you have to come to. You have to come out of that unconsciousness, and you have to drag yourself out of it and lift yourself up and get back in the fight. That's exactly what you have to do. Otherwise, you're doomed. We don't have a choice. If it's not our time, then we're left behind. And you know what I have? I have my memories. Memories are like gold.
Yes. They're just wonderful treasures that you can always, always keep with you and just have it very close to your heart. And I think
our loved ones
want us to move forward and want us to heal and to find peace within our heart.
Well, you know, a lot of people might think this is silly, but I've seen all different signs. And my daughter just called me this morning to tell me, she said, Daddy, she said, I was in bed and I couldn't believe it. She said, I felt something and I had a dime stuck to my toe. She thinks that my wife is leaving dimes around, and I find them too, and I've never looked down and found coins, but there are signs that I think that give us hope, even if they're real or unreal. It's amazing.
Yes, and I believe very strongly in that too. I do see signs a lot when it comes to a ladybug or something that a joke my dad and I had or something that I would know that only him and I knew about, that he's always here and that he's always with us and watching over us. And I really do believe that our loved ones always want to comfort us.
Well, when my wife was in hospice, the aides there helped her draw a butterfly, a beautiful butterfly. I have it framed in my home. And my daughter sees butterflies all the time, a monarch butterfly. She had a monarch butterfly fly into her home in November. And if that isn't unreal, I don't know what to say. It's such a hopeful, hopeful happening. And whether people want to be skeptic and say that's baloney, well, I don't think so.
No, I agree too. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago I had a medium on my show, and I know that's very controversial, and especially as a Catholic, I know it's not looked upon. But I believe in some points, you know, our loved ones wanting to contact us. And it was a very touching interview. And it was an amazing, you know, way. And this woman believes in God. This woman, you know, has a very strong faith in God. And this was her gift that people that had passed had contacted her. And it was really just amazing and a very powerful show. And I think, you know, we feel them. Some people are skeptic about it, but sometimes you just feel that, and you know, it's like a peaceful event. And I think they're always with us and always around us.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, but I have to take pity on people who are that skeptical, because I've been to psychics too. And I'm still amazed, even though it's been a few years since I've been, I'm amazed at the things that they knew that nobody else in our life knew. And they've been given a gift. And as far as being a Catholic is concerned, I think that gift comes from God. And they've been given that gift, and it's so wonderful that they're able to share it, whether it's monetary for them or whatever. But they're giving people hope, and you need hope.
Yes, yes, I agree with you 100%. She had done a reading for me, actually live on the show, and my father and my aunt came through, and the things that were said were things that only my dad and I would know about. But it actually brought another kind of peace to my heart. It's almost like I can't describe it, but kind of came to terms with things and said, okay, I feel this peace. And I think so important, too, with different ways a person can start healing. And I think also, you know, by writing this book must have been so therapeutic for you, too, to put this all together for the public to read.
Well, this may sound silly, but I couldn't believe. I couldn't, when it was finished and I went through it and I read it and I thought, oh my God, did I do this? But you know what? I think I was motivated by something just to give this, it's a gift. I want to give it as a gift to people so that they can read it and know the road that we traveled, and that maybe if they have to travel that road, it could be a little bit easier for them, you know?
Yes, yes. How many poems? Is it a book all full of poems? What is the book all about?
It's all in poetry. It's in poetry, and it's in chapter and verse. And it just chronologically gives a story of our life from when we first met at Rye Beach when we were little kids, and it goes right on through our marriage and our births and our trials, and then it culminates with Mr. Cancer knocking on our door, and it's it's a biography, and you know, I'm not anybody special, but it's a biography of my life and my wife's life. And I think it's a beautiful story, and it's a normal, average person's story. So I hope that if anybody does read my book, that they take from it what I put into it, and they enjoy their life for whatever amount of time we all have left.
Yes. Where can people purchase your book?
Well, it's on Amazon.com, and it's on Exlibris, Xlibris. They're my publishers, and there are synopses of the book, and there are reviews of my book on Amazon, which I was totally amazed. I've never had accolades like that before in my life, and I was just so happy.
Yes. It's just a reinforcement and confirmation of the good work, and also being able to share with other people and give back and have other people really touch. Because I know before the show we were talking about how people have been commenting that they have your book by their bedstand and they read this, and that it is so touching that they're very emotional.
Exactly. And you know, I don't want to make anybody unhappy or make them cry, but you know, that tells me that there's a message that has sunk in. And it's a thrill for me to know that I could do that and help anyone. That was the whole motivation of the book, and that's why I strove to get it published. I had a fight to get it published. And it's there, and it's a beautiful thing, I think.
Yes, I agree. Do you do a lot of book signings? Do you find that you're promoting your book? What's worked for you?
You know what? I've never done a book signing, ever. My publisher has offered me many, many deals which require thousands and thousands of dollars, and I've done most of it by word of mouth among my friends, but, you know, I'm sorry to say, but I find that publishers do not look out for the author for the most part, at least mine didn't, and, you know, I went to the book signing for the first time where I met you. And I was really, pleased with that situation. But I've never really promoted the book, in any big way, except on the internet through Amazon and Exlibris.
Yes, and I am a firm believer, true believer, that you know, when you do God's work and you're doing something in the name of healing and helping other people, your book will just be out there. It will just be sold. It will get into the right hands to help the right people at the right time.
Well, it's there, and you know, that's what means more than anything to me. And you know, my wife would be so embarrassed. She would have said, "Honey, why did you do that?" Because that's the way she was. I remember when I was younger, I used to sing at different affairs, and she would just cringe in the chair. She was so worried for me and so shy about it. And I know that she would be shy about the book too, but I think over time she'd realize that it came from my heart.
Yes, a way of giving back. And I think also, what an incredible story of love, which I find so well needed around this time, because I think people sometimes don't feel like there's a hope or about finding true love or having that love of a lifetime and that really incredible gift of finding the right person. I think people love that. They need to hear that. They need that in order to move forward, to have that other type of hope.
Well, today marriage is something that's frowned on. I mean, our marriage of 53 years was not easy, we had our arguments, we had our disputes, we had all kinds of problems. But you know what? In the end, when we retired in Florida, I thought I died and went to heaven. We were so happy, and for 9 years, it was just absolute bliss. We bonded so much, and all those years just fell right into our hearts, and it was worth it. People don't fight enough for their marriage. They don't fight enough for the bliss that they both deserve.
I agree. I think people don't realize that marriage relationship is work. It doesn't just happen overnight and, oh, it's not working out, something must be wrong, I'm giving up. It's that day. It's like you have to choose every day to be happy and to find peace. You have to choose to work on your marriage and to make it a healthy, happy marriage and to keep that love so strong.
And it's a two-way street. It's not a one-way street. It's not all about one person. It's about the other person. If you respect and love and cherish the other person, it's going to be like a roller coaster ride. That's exactly what it's going to be like. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be something that you'll always, always carry in your heart and you'll always remember. But if you're going to be selfish and think about me, and think about Micah and my hobbies, and it's not going to work out. But you have to work hard at it. You have to bite your lip, and you have to work together.
Yes. What advice would you give to young people starting off in marriage right now?
Well, all I can say is if you have that spark, if you have that feeling for each other, then nurture it. Love each other, respect each other, and take care of each other. And that's what it's all about. That's what's in your marriage vows. And you know what? Don't let these little bumps in the road, whether they be economic or whether they be sickness or whatever, those things only make you stronger. You come out a very, very strong person in the end, for whatever it's worth. You just have to work hard together. Make it like your career, like your most important part of your life. And you know what? It'll turn out to be wonderful. Wonderful.
It has to be, you know, a team. A couple has to be, there's not one person. I think they have to really start looking at that you're a team. You're doing this together, and the other person is your friend, the person that you love, and think, you know, have good intentions. And I think that's so important. Sometimes people that being vulnerable is so frightening to them. But that's part of being in any type of relationship. Vulnerability is going to be there. But I think you have to work through it, and you have to take a chance, and you have to put in your effort.
Exactly. You know, it's teamwork, just like you said. It's being part of a team. And if you lose, then you rally around each other. If you win, you're on cloud nine. But you can't always be a winner. And you know what? It's the losing that teaches you how to be stronger. The losing teaches you to do better next time, and to love better next time, and to be more apologetic next time and really mean it. And that's the way you take the steps that take you to loving each other, is cherishing each other.
That's taking the good and the bad and being able to sit with it and say, how can we move forward through this, instead of taking offense and being in competition and taking, you did this and you did that. It's being able to say, okay, this is what happened. How can we move forward from here?
Exactly. And, you know, I can honestly say right now, Alexis, I'm talking to you about these things that are very close to my heart, and I'm fighting, getting emotional, because even though it's been 10 years, When you care for someone and take care of them through an illness like cancer or any other terrible illness, the bond is so strong that you couldn't break it, you couldn't cut it with a knife, you couldn't beat it with a hatchet. You can never break that bond, and I'm feeling that right now, and believe me, out of respect to you and whoever is listening, I'm fighting my emotions right now.
I can only imagine how hard it is, and I really commend you also to coming on the show and talking about such a tough topic, such one dear to the heart, because it's being very vulnerable, but it's also, you know, it's a tough one to kind of go through and talk about your loved ones, and I just really commend you. And I think also to know that you have touched so many of my listeners' hearts. And I think also being able to, for people to realize this is normal, this happens, people mourn, they grieve, but you're giving people the hope and a future that you can move forward.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that you've given me this opportunity. I'm just a nobody, and I think, my God, this woman has given me an opportunity to say the things that are in my heart and maybe reach out to someone who's suffering the way Angie and I suffered, and maybe I can give them a little hope and bless you for what you do, because, my God, to have someone there like you to offer your advice and your hope with a capital letter is just wonderful, and I thank you for that.
You're welcome. And just it's amazing. And I think every time I do a show and I find people, like when I met you at the book signing, the book fair, I just know. And I think those are just one of those things, you just have that connection. And it's so amazing to have, you know, you come on and tell your story and just provide so much hope and healing and just ways to move forward. And I think it's really incredible what you do. Do you have any other books coming up? What do you think about that? Is there a second book?
No. I that's the book of my life. That was the book of my heart. I don't know. Maybe something would come out, but I don't want to overshadow this one, because this came so deep from my soul that I think this is probably going to be it. My one and only, because Angela was my one and only. And, you know, I mean, I'm 84 years old, and people are always trying to match you up and meet this one or meet that one. But you know what? That's not me. I'm here, and Angela's still with me, and she always will be. Because what we went through in those 56 years could never be matched in my mind.
Again, we're at the end of the show, and I just wanted to thank you again so much for coming on my show tonight. It's been such a pleasure.
Well, Alexa, please don't thank me. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate this opportunity. Thank you.
You're welcome. And again, the book is I Take Thee, Angela, by William Vincoli, and you can find
it
on Amazon.
It's by Guglielmo, which is Italian for women. For William. Guglielmo.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yes, Guglielmo is my pen name.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. Sorry, I try to pronounce that name. I wouldn't be sure to do that, but definitely it's I Take Thee, Angela.
Yes,
my dad, I'm half
yes.
Italian. I should be able to do it, but sometimes I'm like, okay, I can't take that one on.
Shame on you.
And again,
shame on you.
No, I will learn. I will learn. And I
well,
would just
that,
like to thank
that,
everybody.
All right, that's on my birth certificate, but it's William in English. So thank you so much, Alexa.
You are welcome. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Remember, Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. Please send any questions or show updates or guest referrals to insightintohealing@gmail.com. Everyone, have a good night, and God bless.